Welcome to the New Freedom Church podcast. This podcast will help you grow deeper in your faith through weekly 30-minute talks. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you get each new episode as it's released. Now sit back and relax as God speaks to you through this message.
Somebody say with me, with Jesus, I'm going to make it. Our corporate focus this year is on discipleship, on what it looks like to walk in the way of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, an apprentice under the master trainer, the master leader, our Savior, our Lord. There's this scripture in the Old Testament that always really just kind of captivates me when I read it, and it says that the sons of Issachar, this is a tribe of Israel, this is a people who had their hearts inclined to God, it said, the sons of Issachar were able to discern the times and know what Israel should do. And I think that it's vital in our day that as disciples, as followers of Jesus, that we understand the times and know what God's people, what the followers of Christ should do. I want to share with you for the next few weeks about navigating change, how that we walk through times of testing and trial, and know how not only to personally respond, but also to point others in how that they can cope and respond with the ever-changing tides and times. There are two families in our church this week that had tragic losses. We're going to be having funerals here tonight and even tomorrow. It's tragic. And other calls of people that have needs. There's all kinds of really big looming decisions physically, financially, health-wise, family-wise. And so I want us just to start this next three-week series with a prayer. I want us corporately to come before God and seek God for his wisdom. So I want you to reach your hands this way as I reach mine to you, and let's agree together. God, we authorize you to step into our scene, to step into our situation. We give you the authority. We give you the dominion. We give you the right to work and to move in and through us on behalf of the heirs of salvation. God, I thank you that you have given to us wisdom and discernment, that your disciples should discern the signs and the times and know what we should do. Lord, help us to be faithful in pointing others to the cross as you shine your light on our path. Now be that balm of Gilead covering our hearts in all of our weeping and our tears. Let us see through the pain to the glory of your Christ. It's in his name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. I've heard it said that people are more likely to make a significant spiritual decision when three things are occurring in their lives, maybe individually, maybe simultaneously, but people are most likely to make a significant spiritual decision when they are in trouble, when they are under tension, or when they are facing transition. Today I want to talk about facing transition, being in transition. If you turn with me to Luke's account, chapter 19, I want to read a story. These 10 verses, I think, give us a clear picture of a man who was definitely in transition. There were a lot of changes that were happening in his life. And maybe you find yourself today in this seeming seesaw moment of things that are changing. You're in transition. Transition is uncomfortable because it's an in-between place. You're not where you were, and you're not yet where you're going. And so transition is one of these discerning moments. A transition time is being in between, yet knowing that you're not to go back where you came from and you're not yet arrived at where you're going. And so transition is vital to understanding what God is doing and saying in our lives. And in Luke chapter 19, we get introduced to a man named Zacchaeus. Kind of a fun name to say. Just say it, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Now, you know that, right? I couldn't resist. I had to do that. Don't sing on me right now. Come on. But Zacchaeus is introduced to us in Luke chapter 19. It says, Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was the chief tax collector. That's important. You need to see that he wasn't just an ordinary tax collector. This guy was in charge. He was probably over a province or a region of tax collectors. And then it gives us a descriptor of how good that he was at his job. It says, and he was rich. Now, when the Bible says you're rich, you're rich. Verse 3, and he sought to see, some versions say Jesus. This one says who Jesus was. He sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. I believe that me and Zacchaeus, we could see eye to eye. I mean, I like this guy already. But he was short. So we see some descriptors that he was a chief tax collector. He had a really good paying job. He was rich. He had really excelled and achieved great heights in his life. And then it says, and the Bible takes notice, that he was just a short man. Now, this is important for the narrative of the story, and you're going to see how this plays into him being in transition. Now, watch. So he ran ahead. That was uncommon in his day. You didn't run if you were a dignitary. This was something special. Something important was happening in town for a man of his stature, for a man of his status, to run. But then the next thing he does is even more shocking. It says that he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, to see Jesus, for he was passing by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. Now watch this. These words are in red. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must be at your house. The scripture takes notice to call Zacchaeus by name. Can you imagine to hear the master, to hear the savior, Jesus calls you out by name? I can imagine that he probably up in that tree must have done one of these. Like, look up, you talking to me, Jesus? You know me? Jesus knows you by name. This was well before that Zacchaeus ever came to believing loyalty, to faith in Jesus. Jesus knew him by name. Now, that may not have been all that strange since he was the chief tax collector, since he was probably notorious in the region. But can you imagine climbing up because he went in and ran and climbed up so that he could see Jesus? Who is this guy? I've heard about him. Who is this Jesus? And then he calls him out by name. And not only that, but Jesus invites himself to dinner at Zacchaeus' house. How many like uninvited guests when they come over, drop in? I mean, the house is never clean enough. You're never in the right attire. You weren't expecting them. But for someone of Jesus' stature to say, come on down out of that tree because I'm going to come eat with you tonight. That's what he does. So he made haste. He came down and received him joyfully. Now I wonder, when Jesus calls us by name, when he comes into our lives uninvited, are we joyful about this intrusion? Do we see it as something that is displacing our norm and we're not ready for it? Are we joyful when Jesus says he's coming in? Or are we more begrudging about it? You see, this man, Zacchaeus, he had waited all his life long to have something like this come to his life. Verse 7, when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with man who is a sinner. So the Bible tells us something about Zacchaeus' wealth, about his stature, about his position, about how that he ran. And then it accentuates this one little verse here in 7 that all of the people standing around, everybody that's watching this scene play out, all of those others that were jockeying for position, that wanted to get recognized and noticed by Jesus, all of the ones who had been good and they went to the Bible study and they paid their tithe and they had gone to synagogue and they've been following Jesus, when Jesus didn't call them by name, but he called Zacchaeus by name, it says this, that when they saw it, they complained. He's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Now, if you hear tell of Pastor Joe meeting with, having coffee with, doing a one-on-one with somebody that you don't think fits in the accepted norm, then you can just resign yourself to know Pastor Joe has gone, read those Bible stories, and he's lost all judgment. Because God took away all my judgment. And therefore, when I look at others, how can I have judgment? Amen.
Bible. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today." Somebody say today. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, right now. Today, salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. This was shocking in their ears because they were sons of Abraham. By birthright, the people that had complained, they had authorization into the realm of the spiritual because they were by birth and lineage the people of God. They were of heritage, tracing their lineage back to Abraham. Now, whether Zacchaeus was actually a Jew or not, the story really doesn't tell us exactly that. But what we do know is that Jesus proclaimed salvation to him and grafted him in and thereby made him accepted in the family of God. For verse 10 says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." The Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save the lost. I want to share with you three lessons of navigating transition from this story. And that is that we have to recognize the right time for a change. We have to position ourselves to have the right outlook. And then we must resolve to do right, to act right, to do justly. Right time. Let's talk about it. It's been said that timing is everything. A comedian who is average can memorize some jokes and can make you chuckle when they retell the jokes because you get the story. But a comedian who has exquisite timing can sneak up on you in a story and the punchline will hit you like a ton of bricks and you have a LOL, a laugh out loud, a belly laugh when they time it appropriately. Timing is everything. The day trader of stocks who just tries to get in and get out and buy a little here and buy a little there will, at the end of the year, maybe they'll have some gains, maybe they'll have some losses, but overall, they're not near as good as that person who can time through data, through research, through experience, the markets as they're going up and down. The stockbroker, the exchange trader, the day trader that can time the market, whether it by luck or by skill, that makes all the difference. Timing is everything. There are right times and right seasons for things that happen in our lives. You take a championship coach, and they will take an average team, develop the skill and develop the talent, but where a championship coach really shows themselves to be head and shoulders above their competition is when they can manage well the clock. When they can make sure that enough time is left to get the ball into the hands of the superstar to make the game-winning goal, the shot, the run, the pass, whatever it is, that kind of coach, the time management coach, is the one that will most likely win the game, even if they have average or just above average talent. And sometimes change is thrust upon us. We don't feel like it's the right time because it just came. It just came sweeping in. We weren't really wanting it. We weren't expecting it. And many times change is thrust up on us. It wasn't of our choosing. We would have rather done it differently, but here it is. What do? I must deal with it. And when change is thrust upon us, then we find ourselves nudged into a season of transition. Other times, we choose to make a change. We look at all the data, we look at the facts, we assemble the graphs, and we do the pros and cons, and we say, it's time to make a change. And so a transition begins by our own prompting. But yet other times, in the wise providence of God, hear me, he will cause us to transition from one status to another. God, by his wise counsel, will shake up our lives in such a way to make us uncomfortable with what we know and have known, and yet desirous of what we have not known. This strange burning on the soul for something that we've never had, or a place we've never gone, or to do what we've never done, places us smack dab in transition. And I say that sometimes that is by the providence of God. It's kind of like that mother chick. You see it this time of year. We've got this robin that keeps coming every morning, and she's sitting on the back fence post. And I know what she's doing. She's looking for a place that she can build a nest. She's built nests before in this little nook and in that little cranny. And then after the chicks are hatched and they're gone, then I'll go and I'll mess up the nest. But she comes right back to that same place again and starts to assemble her nest. And right now, this time of year, she's really plump. She's pregnant to the full. And she's looking for a place to drop those eggs. But it won't be long until those little chicks hatch. Those little birds will start to be hungry, and mama will come and feed them. But the day will come when she said, "That's enough. I'm not feeding you no more. I'm not chewing up all these worms, regurgitating, and putting them in your mouth. You need to fly." And mama will just nudge them out of the nest. Now, it seems a little bit rude, right? "Hey, mom, wait a minute. You're taking away my warmth. You're taking away my food. You're making me uncomfortable." But that's exactly what must happen so the chick doesn't stay up in that nest and die. And God, in his wise counsel, in his providence, sometimes will get us uncomfortable. And we don't fit in here, and we're not yet there, but we're in transition. What do we do when we're in transition? It says that Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus. He knew that this was a now or never kind of moment. There are some times in your life where you know if it doesn't happen now, it may never come around again. And this is exactly what Zacchaeus was experiencing. He would not have taken these drastic measures to run, to climb up in a tree, to get over the crowd if he didn't have this burden on his soul, this burning that there is something that I must do right here and right now. Timing really is vital. Leonard Ravenhill said it like this: "The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity." The window closes. The opportunity flashes and is gone. Timing is everything. In the Greek, there are two words for time. The first word for time is chronos. Now, chronos is like chronological time. It's sequential. It's the time on a clock. The seconds ticking into minutes, ticking into hours. It's static. It's always the same. We can count up on it. We can set our watch by it. That's chronos. So when the Bible says time, you have to get a concordance. You have to go look and say, okay, what kind of time is the Bible talking about here? Because there's another dynamic type of time, or an example of time that we all experience, yet the Greek separates this out differently. The Greek says that this is kairos. Kairos is a critical or opportune moment. It's the right time. Somebody say the right time. It's the specific time. Now, here's the thing. You can never miss chronos time. You don't have to worry about ever missing chronos time. The moments of your life will click on whether you realize them or not. You can't miss them. They just come, and they go, and they come, and they go. You can't miss chronos time. It's here. Don't even have to worry about it. It's going to happen. You have been allotted a day and an hour, chronos time. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that to face judgment. And so every one of us have time. God said it like this: as long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest. That's what the Bible says. There will be seed, there will be time, and there will be harvest. What is time? Time is transition. You plant the seed, you don't see the harvest. What happened? Well, you need to put the time in there. God promised there will be seed, time, and harvest. Time is transition. We don't like time because we don't like transition. What really we don't like is we don't like to wait. When we pray in such a way that God says yes to our prayer. We pray in the affirmative. What I have found is that God actually answers in more than one way. Anybody ever find that? Sometimes when I pray, God says go. That's yes. Green light, go. Sometimes God says no. Okay, close the door. It's not my right time. Other times, and most of the time, God says, you know what it is, slow. I like the go, and I'll accept the no. God, I really don't like the slow. What I'm saying is the transition is tough. That in-between time is uncomfortable. I don't want to be out of the nest, but yet I find myself falling. What do? I flap my wings. I didn't know I could fly. Exactly. You didn't know until you were made uncomfortable. Until the Kairos came, until the opportune time, you didn't know. And Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus. Now, you cannot miss your Kronos, but you can miss your Kairos. It's possible to miss the opportune time. The Bible says, woe unto him who is often reproved and yet stiffens his neck. There's a time. It is appointed. There's a time. How many times have you heard the gospel? How many times has God knocked on the door of your heart? How many times has God nudged you? Tell him about me. How many times have we prayed? God opens an opportunity, and we're waiting for a better opportunity. How many times? You can miss your Kairos. You can miss the opportune moment. And Zacchaeus had resolved in himself, I may never see Jesus come back into this way again. I may never have this opportunity. I am going to get the right outlook. And so what he does, he runs ahead. He climbs up a tree so that he himself can see Jesus. I wonder if we have the same kind of fortitude, the same kind of resolve, that we will change our perspective, that we will get on a different level. I'm not going to stay down here in the dirt, in the mire, in the quagmire, in the clay, and throw in dirt and make people mad. I'm not going to stay in that level. I'm going to rise up above, and I'm going to get a new perspective. That's what Zacchaeus did. Now, you remember the woman with the issue of blood. What did she do? She went lower, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. That was a change in outlook, wasn't it? It worked for her. We don't see that happen with Zacchaeus. He could have gone low. He's a short man, but he didn't do that. He goes high. And there are times in which you need to go low. You humble yourself. But there are other times, like Zacchaeus, he said, no, I want to see above the crowd. I don't want to just be in the midst of the crowd. I want to get up and to look outright. I want to see it for myself. A new perspective. Here's what you need to know about a new perspective. That your friends and family may not be the best resource to go to and ask for a new perspective. You know why? Because they love you too much. They don't want you to take a risk. They're risk averse in advising you. Your friends and family will hear your story. They'll hear your dream. And they'll say, yeah, but you don't want to take that kind of risk. If you do that, do you know what kind of exposure you're opening yourself up to? Oh my goodness, what could go wrong? A lot of times people, well-meaning, love you. They will talk you out of your Kairos. It's true. Zacchaeus didn't consult anybody. The Apostle Paul, when he was called to be an apostle, he said, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. What is he saying? Somebody could talk me out of this, and I don't want my flesh to get so bogged down by someone telling me what God hasn't told me. When I know what God has told me, I'm going to do that. And if you know what God has said, then do that. You might just be like Peter. You step out of the boat. You heard a word from God. You step out of the boat. And then you realize, oh my goodness, these waves didn't stop. The wind is still blowing. And what happened to Peter? He took his eyes off of Jesus. He got a word from Jesus. Come. He took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink. Now, we want to cast down on Peter for that, but here's what I want to tell you. We never find out how he got back to the boat, but he got back to the boat, and he must have walked on the water or Jesus carried him on. Either way, I'm fine with that. Amen? Amen? Get a word from God and do that. Don't miss your kairos. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss the opportunity that God has for you. Zacchaeus climbed up that tree curious. He climbed back down converted. It's amazing what a transition can do. Just a small season. He climbed up to see Jesus, and then he heard the most beautiful words he could ever hear. His own name in Jesus' mouth. I'm coming to your house today. That was more than just a dinner invite. Hear me. That was more than Jesus saying, I want to come and see where you live. That was Jesus saying, salvation has come to you, Zacchaeus. This is the net that is cast. We think of a net just, it's all like something we put in the water. No, the net that was cast was Jesus saying, I'm coming to your house. In other words, Zacchaeus, you're okay with me, friend. You might be in a time of transition, Zacchaeus, but you can join my team. That's what this was saying. This is beautiful. He climbed up curious, he came down converted. And here's what will happen in times of transition when you navigate them with God. When you do like Zacchaeus and you seize the right time and you get a new outlook, then that transitional time can turn into something so beautiful because it can cause you to be curious and come down converted. You have changed the way you think about things. And sometimes, watch this, what looks like a step backwards is actually a catapult forward. You ever take one of those slingshots? As a kid, someone wasn't very smart. They bought me and my younger brother a slingshot. You know, you would find something to put in there, and you'd pull it back like it has a little thing on your hand. You know what I'm talking about. And you pull that slingshot back, and you can look and see where you're going to aim, and you shoot it. Shoot it right at Brian. Pew. I see you back there. In order to make that rock go forward, you have to first pull it backward. And so often what we are looking for in our westernized American mindset is climbing the ladder of success, doing the next best thing to position ourselves to get ahead. And I want to tell you that everything in the kingdom of which you came from, the kingdom of the world, when you come into the kingdom of light, everything in the kingdom of God is diametrically opposed and mutually exclusive from everything in the kingdom you came out of. In God's kingdom, the way up is down. And so what looks to be a backward movement, take anybody on the other side of that slingshot, they know it's not staying back there very long. They're getting out of the way, right? God is pulling you to a transitional place, and sometimes it feels like you're taking a step back. It feels like you're not going forward at all, but you need to understand the Bible. You need to read and see what God has done with people who have gone backward, like Joseph. I kind of like that guy in the Old Testament. I don't know why, but I like him. He's got a good name. His story is one of being thrown into a pit. Again, here's what Joseph did. Joseph made the fatal mistake of sharing his dream, what God had told him, with his family. When he told his family, guys, you won't believe it. God's been so good to me. He gave me a dream. You all are going to bow down and worship me. I'm going to be ruler over you. You think that they were happy about that? No. They sought to kill him. Finally, one of his brothers stepped up and said, let's not kill him. We can get something out of him. Let's just sell him. Let's sell him to the gypsies. We'll just sell him to the, let's just sell him. And they did. They sold him into slavery. What looked to be this beautiful dream was set back into 13 years of imprisonment. First he went to Potiphar's house, got lied upon, thrown back into prison. 13 years, should have gotten sprung from prison because he interpreted a dream, didn't happen. And finally, the day came when Pharaoh couldn't interpret a dream. And the guy said, you know what? I was in prison with a guy one time, and he could tell dreams. And Pharaoh said, well, I've tried all my sorcerers, all my magic. Go and seek out this man. And God promoted Joseph to be second in all command of Egypt. He was thrown backwards so that he could be catapulted forward. And he had such great outlook. You talk about outlook. You talk about perspective. Joseph had such great outlook that he said to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God intended for good. Can I tell you that there are some things that someone set up? They lied to you. They lied about you. They tried to put you in a pit. They tried to put you back years of your progress. And you are standing here today as a testament that the goodness of God has shown through time and time again. And what they meant for evil, God can turn it around for good. And sometimes we pray prayers that should receive the no. Sometimes, okay, let me have theologian Garth Brooks help us out with this. He wrote a good song. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Amen. Do you ever thank God for unanswered prayers? Come on, when you get home, you can do it right now. You got a computer in your pocket. Google up that lyrics of that song. Sometimes I thank God. I said theologian, okay, not theologian. Sometimes what looks like to be a backward step is actually a catapult forward. And we miss the key of surrender because it looks more like failure than it does success. The key of surrender. We miss it. Surrender in the kingdom is not a step back, it's actually a mobility down, taking up a servant's towel. It's saying, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Jesus surrendered to the humiliation of the cross, and to the world, it looked like defeat. To the disciples, they all ran away because they couldn't imagine that the king, the master, the miracle worker, had just ended his life like this. His demise was at a cross. But actually, the death of Jesus, we know on this side of the cross, the death of Jesus was hell's defeat. It was our victory. And God still gives us the victory. Zacchaeus made a transition from walking to running. From behind, looking at the backs of the crowd, to standing up into the tree to look above the crowd. And sometimes you and I just need to seek a new perspective. Zacchaeus was willing to give up good pay, high status, a title, political clout, all for an opportunity to see Jesus. What are you willing to give up for a kairos to see Jesus? Let's not forget right actions. Zacchaeus, having been called out by name, Jesus is offering him salvation, has this moment, this crisis of his life, when he realizes, I'm not worthy. I've cheated. I've made money on the backs of people who couldn't afford it. I'm not respected in my community because of my job title and what I do. And Zacchaeus had this check in his spirit. You know what happens when you're just going along and all of a sudden something's like, whoa, stop. No. Make it right. Make it right. Don't say it. Apologize. Take it back. Make restitution. Zacchaeus said, Lord, I know you're coming to my house. I'm going to make you a good dinner. I'm glad you're coming. I'm thrilled that you said my name, but I got to make some things right. Before you even get there, Jesus, he started cleaning his laundry, didn't he? He started saying, I'm going to restore anybody that I stole from. I'm going to give them back four times, which was the legal for the law. I'm going to give not all that I owe, but half of my goods to the poor. That's what he did. That's pretty good, isn't it? What's that tell us? In his transition, there was a heart change. Watch. In times of transition, God is doing a work of your heart. He's working. He's moving. He's doing something that is deep on the inside that may not show up on the outside yet, but for Zacchaeus, it activated pretty quickly, didn't it? He said, I'm going to give half of everything I owe to the poor. Jesus didn't demand any of this. Hear me. Whatever it is God puts on your heart, That's fine for you. That's between you and God. Work it out with him. But for Zacchaeus, he had to take some right actions. We need to stop. Hear me. We need to stop trying to get people saved. Pastor, what are you talking about? Save your email. Henry Blackaby wrote in Experiencing God that he would often ask people, what is God doing in your life? If their response was, I don't know God, I don't believe in God, shut your preacher mouth, get away from me, he said, I'd pack up my stuff and I'd go on. I'm not going to try and work where God hasn't already been working. Jesus said, the fields are white already to harvest, right? Now, let me ask you, is every field white for harvest? Or are there some that are uncultivated, not even hardly planted yet? Jesus gave us an indication that we need to go to the fields that are white to harvest. There are fields that are not white. We need to stop trying to force everybody in our circle to get saved. We need to just be an oikos to people around us. We need to have that 8 to 15 that we're praying for. We're sowing seeds of faith in them. We're watering some seeds. Sometimes you'll go by a field of somebody and it looks like there's just a little sapling there. They're not ready yet. Don't try to harvest that. Don't try to get that one into the boat. We're trying to clean fish we haven't caught yet. No. We're trying to harvest fields that haven't grown yet. No, we need to stop trying to get everybody saved. Let's find out where God's working and let's go join him up there, all right? Let's go work where God is already working. Let's give some other time for that other stuff to grow up. Jesus didn't come to Zacchaeus' town 2 weeks prior. He didn't come a month earlier. He didn't come at the very beginning of his ministry, but at the Kairos. At the right time, Jesus came. Zacchaeus was ready. Jesus called him out by name. I wonder how Jesus knew his name. Maybe it was because his title. Maybe it was because somebody requested prayer for Zacchaeus in a prayer meeting that Jesus was at. And they said, Jesus, would you pray for my uncle Zacchaeus? He's a tax collector. He's a sinner. He's not repentant. He's far from God. He doesn't even want anything to do with my faith. Would you pray for him? And Jesus said, I'm going to put him on my prayer list. Who's on your prayer list? No, I mean it. Who's on your prayer list? And don't get under condemnation. If you don't have anybody on your prayer list, get some people on your prayer list. Amen. Start asking God to do a kairos in their life. Ask God to give them an opportune moment. And don't just try to put them on the prayer list today and go witness to them tomorrow. Let God's spirit move you, and when the right time comes, then you speak. And the words of the Lord spoken in season are like silver settings in fine apples of gold. It is such a honey to their ear. It is sweet to the taste. It is something that they desire, and sometimes they didn't even know they wanted it, but when they hear the goodness of God, they embrace it. I would rather allow God to do the working and I come in as a co-laborer than for me to till and plow and get in all that rocky soil. We need to stop trying to do what only God can do. That's what I mean. I want more people to know Jesus, but there are right times for the right action. Psalm 37 and 1, I'm going to close with this. It says, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, enjoy safe pasture. When you're in transition, it's important that you leave your previous season correctly. Because how you leave your previous season is most likely how you arrive at your next season. So if you are a blessing leaving, then you'll be a blessing going. And when you arrive, we don't need to worry in transition and have all that clog in our heart over things of our past. We don't need to worry about the wrongdoings. We need to do good and trust in the Lord. Do good and trust in the Lord. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today, salvation has come to your house because he is also a son of Abraham. Notice, He didn't say, you are also a son of Abraham. He said, hey, crowd, complainers, ridiculers, salvation has come to your house, Zacchaeus, because he is a son of Abraham. Jesus took up for him. Jesus defended him. Jesus stood up for Zacchaeus, and Jesus will stand up for you. Seize your moment, for the Son of God came to seek and save the lost. Heads bowed and no one looking around. You're joining us online. God is speaking to your heart right now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Seize your moment. Say yes to Jesus. Surrender your life to him and be a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I want to pray for you. God, I thank you that you have revealed to us that even during transition times, if we will trust in you and do good, you will do a work of heart that will benefit us as we enter our new season. God, for everyone who is navigating change and difficulty, for those of us who are in a transition time, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love. For those that have never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment, this is your time. God wants to speak to you your very name. He wants to record your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all you need to do is say these words, I believe. I believe that Jesus lived, that he died and rose on the third day. I repent of my sin. I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's worship.